Pengo had suspected something might be afoot. Earlier in the week, his Secret Service contact had planned to fly from Cologne to Berlin to meet with him, but then had canceled the appointment at the last minute. Pengo had moved out of his father's apartment a few months earlier without filing the necessary registration papers with the local police to account for his whereabouts, a bureaucratic procedure required of every citizen. Sensing that arrests might be imminent and worried the police might show up at Gottfried's apartment first, he warned his father that there might soon be a reprise of the December 1986 bust. Pengo's parents were only vaguely aware of the trouble their son had fallen into and was attempting to escape from. They knew that he had an investigation pending against him for something rather serious and related to his hacking, but they both shied away from asking specific questions. Renata had long since given up trying to understand what her son was doing with computers and had no way of gauging what the problem really was. Gottfried was distressed to hear that the police might be back. "What are they going to do, and when are they going to show up?" he quizzed his son. "I don't know," Pengo replied, with the fresh impatience that only an exasperated son can express to his father. "Excuse me, but I don't know. I don't know how many will come, or when they'll come, or whether they'll come and order a strip search, or just say, have a nice day." If nothing else, the conversation prompted Pengo to file his change of address with the police the following morning. 3 days later, at about 9 a.m, he was awakened by the sound of his apartment buzzer. It was the West Berlin police, who were there to conduct a search and question him. They confiscated miscellaneous pieces of paper, some containing computer printouts, others with Hagbard's handwriting, but nothing terribly incriminating. It was a pro forma exercise, of course, and it was clear from the moment they began that Pengo would be spared a real arrest. The police also conducted a search at the offices of Pengo's company, which had grown to 5 people. Pengo was surprised by the extent of the police action. Still, he was tremendously relieved to have the whole episode burst open at last. As far as he could tell, his name hadn't surfaced, and the Panorama program had shielded him too, referring to him as Frieder Sell, a Berlin student. During the broadcast, Joachim Wagner, the head of the Panorama program and the show's anchor, had described the discovery of the hacker spies as the biggest case since the biggest case since 1974, when Günter Guillaume, then Chancellor Willy Brandt's friend and aide, was found to be a captain of the East German Secret Service. The Guillaume scandal had toppled a chancellery. Gerhard Boden, the head of the Verfassungsschutz itself, declared, "What we have here is a new form of hostile infiltration of our data networks." And for the work his agency did in uncovering the operation and controlling the damage, a spokesman for the Secretary of the Interior called the arrests a severe blow to the KGB. The Panorama program set off a chain reaction of media reports. Espionage was something the German people didn't take lightly, and West Germans were particularly appalled by the reports of a new and insidious form of espionage, of teenage malcontents who had stumbled upon computer vulnerabilities and not just exploited the weaknesses they found, but used them to endanger the military security of the West. Various officials and computer security experts stressed repeatedly that some of NATO's most sensitive military data resided on the computers allegedly perpetrated by Hess and the others. Even if the data that had been taken from the computers were not classified or even sensitive, security experts in West Germany and the U.S. argued that classified information could be inferred from unclassified information. But it didn't take long for the Ministry of the Interior to retreat from its original pronouncement that the KGB had been delivered a severe blow. Once the initial sensation had died down, skeptical journalists began to question just how much damage to national security the group of hacker spies had done. Had highly classified material changed hands, or was it merely some harmless public domain software? Moreover, why the public outrage when the real menace of computer espionage is most likely not from the Soviet Union, but in sophisticated schemes perpetrated by both foreign and American corporate spies secretly tapping into their competitors' systems in search of trade secrets and market information? Pengo didn't